Now, on with the show.
This is Mouse World Radio. Bringing the world to your world. This is Walt Disney World Today Live. Call 407-278-5WDW to get on the show. That's 407-278-5939. And now, your host, Matt Hochberg.
Thank you, Mr. Voice. And this live show of WDW Today is being sponsored by AllEars.net, your one-stop shop for Walt Disney World, the Disney Cruise Line, and Disneyland. All Ears has menus of all the Walt Disney World restaurants, comprehensive photos of all the resorts, sections on traveling and special challenges, and more. Be sure to subscribe to All Ears, a weekly email newsletter all about Walt Disney World, and join over 119,500 subscribers who receive a dose of pixie dust in their inbox each week. Visit AllEars.net today. And it's Sunday, May 23rd, 2010, and this is a live show for May 2010 of WDW Today. I'm Matt Hochberg of StudioCentral.com. And joining me on today's show is Len Testa, co-author of the Unofficial Guide to Walt Disney World, an all-around good guy. Welcome to the show, Len.
How's it going, Matt? I love your Hartford Whalers t-shirt that you're wearing in the camera. That's awesome.
I'm broadcasting with like it's 1986, baby.
I'm serious, man. I see Newell. It's like he's got like six computers over there. Like he's trying to land the space shuttle while he's running the show. How's it going, man?
Also joining us on today's show is Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio. Welcome back to the show, Mike.
Hey, guys. It's been a while. It's great to be back under better circumstances. So let's get the show going.
That'll teach you to take performance-enhancing drugs, my friend.
I'm sorry. I know you had to do all the work for the past 2 weeks, and I appreciate it, though.
Yeah, well, the listeners certainly appreciate you being back, because now the show might actually sound okay.
Well, really, you know, hey, I do what I can.
Also joining us on today's show is Mike Scopa, a senior future writer and blogger for AllEars.net. Welcome, Michael.
The analysis modules above your head will now lower into place.
Mission to Mars?
Nope.
Alien Encounter?
Yep.
Nice.
Right place. Wrong.
Score one for the good guys. And we're broadcasting live here on www.today.com. You can call in with your questions. 407-278-5939 is the phone number. And it's your opportunity to be a part of this live show. And we'll be answering your questions as well as don't forget you can join us in our chat room at www.today.com is the chat room in there. So lots of opportunities for you to be a part of the show.
And all I'm going
to
say, Matt, is there's a DVR for people that are lost. That's all I'm going to say. They make DVRs for lost people.
You know, I've never seen that show.
Me either.
Me neither.
We got our first call of the evening. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Ryan.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, from Appleton, Wisconsin. Good to talk to you guys. Quick question for you. I have a trip coming up in June, and I'm going to be at the Magic Kingdom on June 18th. And I noticed that on the crowd calendar, it said that was the best day to go. But I also noticed that there were evening extra magic hours, and it was open till 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. So I guess my question is, with the new calendar, how is that working out where extra magic hours are fitting in with the best days still?
Yeah, so for those people who haven't looked at the website in a while, we released a new version of the crowd calendar last week. And it's we've made our park recommendations based on all of the data that we've collected in all of the parks every day over the last 6 months. So tens of thousands of pieces of data. And one of the things that we asked Fred Hazelton, our statistician, to do was go back and figure out what the impact was on days in which the parks had morning extra magic hours and days in which the parks had evening extra magic hours. We were trying to figure out what the impact is for those two, right? So the conventional wisdom is that whenever a park has extra magic hours, it automatically fills up regardless of whether it's morning or evening extra magic hours. It turns out that that's not actually true. Not in every case anyway. So if you look at the average wait time for all attractions in an entire park, there are instances where evening extra magic hour days are slower than other days of the week. And that's what we base the recommendations on. So
all
it turns
right,
out
well, that's great.
Yeah. So here's the other interesting thing, though. So just to follow up on that, are aggregate calendar recommendations now match very closely with what we've actually seen in the park? So, for example, if I'm just hypothesizing here, if Tuesday is the slowest day of the week for Epcot, then if you look at the crowd calendar, we will recommend Tuesdays more than any other day. So all our recommendations now almost exactly match whenever the data that we've seen in the park. Now, there are special events, right? Every once in a while, the park closes for something, or it's got a hard ticket event, and we kind of work around that. But in general, what you see in the calendar is based on what actually happens in the parks.
Well, that's great. I really enjoy the new calendar, and actually reading all about it was driving my wife crazy because we changed our trip because of it. But you know what? I appreciate the hard work you guys put into it, and keep up the great work.
Thanks. I really appreciate it. And thanks for changing your plans. The thing that we had to struggle with when we released the calendar was this, right? So we knew that when we changed the calendar, it was going to upset some people who had made some plans, right?
Right.
The problem was, though, we had better information than we were currently giving out. So do you have good information and not give it to people? And you know, to avoid upsetting some of them, or do you just put it out there and say, "Look, this is just the best information we have. Adjust if you have to, and we'll deal with the consequences." We're generally a more transparent organization. We strive for to tell you exactly what we know when we know it. So we went with the reporting everything we knew.
Noble effort, Lon. Noble effort.
Thanks.
We have our next caller on the line. It's Dean from New York. Hey, Dean.
Hey guys, how's everything?
Hey, Dean.
Of course, happy birthday to the fabulous one. I know we've all given our Facebook wishes to her, but happy birthday to Annette Owens, the fabulous one. She's got a busy weekend.
Thank you.
Hey, guys.
Soundboard Annette.
Yeah. This being the Lost finale, I was just tonight, what you guys are competing against. I know that you're going to be competing against them for our listeners and for viewers.
Dean, they're competing against us.
Yeah, and the Celebrity Apprentice.
Oh, of course.
What's that?
Yeah. Exactly. That's the way I feel. But I'm just wondering, hey, what do you think this is going to be a next kind of TV show or a movie that they're going to try to integrate into the park? Other than the Marvel stuff, do you think that they'll try doing? I know they've got a lot of stuff planned for Fantasyland with the Dumbo things, but do you see anything on the horizon that you would like to have integrated into the parks?
That's a good question. It'd have to be something at ABC or a film, right? Scopa, what are your thoughts?
Well, first off, I think they're going to be very careful about doing anything. I remember Chris telling us that there was some kind of a contract that Marvel had with Universal, and nothing would be shown in a theme park east of the Mississippi other than a Universal Studios theme park. After that contract goes, who knows? I think that if we do see anything, it'll be in the studios. It won't be in any other theme park. I think that, you know, it would be interesting to see if they did something on television, but it would have to be something that would pretty much guarantee success, and it would be a high budget show because of all the special effects that they would have to do. I'm thinking Spider-Man and or Iron Man, because Iron Man's pretty popular right now.
I know that Newell, although I don't really find any interest in the show. I know you love that show with Al Bundy on it.
Oh, Modern Family?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, that's what we call it, too, the Al Bundy show. Yeah, I mean, even though that's a very popular show, I don't see them incorporating that into an attraction and or, you know. You might see merchandise, maybe, like a shirt or something like that, but you're not going to see anything more than that. Whereas the Marvel characters are different. It's a different, you know, story.
What about you, Gavin? What do you think? Gavin. Dean. Sorry.
Hey, Gavin.
Kevin.
Well,
Steve.
I think that they had a great opportunity while Lost was hot to put, like, you know, something like a small little Dharma initiative thing in there, something interactive that would have, you know, been better than, say, the American Idol experience because, you know, it is ABC owned. I said, you know, because American Idol is fading fast.
Yeah. Well, the thing with American Idol, Dean, don't forget, is that American Idol, not really American Idol, the people behind it, the production company dumped like literally a truckload of money on Disney's lap and said, build us an attraction. And so Disney was like, okay, you're going to pay for the whole thing. We'll build you an attraction. If they're doing it with ABC, Disney's footing the bill for it. So in that situation, that you have to understand the motivation in that case. I agree with you. I mean, that's basically the situation that was brought to them. And so, you know, Disney was like, okay, we're not going to turn that down. The other thing to keep in mind also is, Len, you and I were waiting for Sounds Dangerous, was it 2 weeks ago?
Oh, yeah.
To kind of tell you the danger, I guess, of having television shows being advertised in the parks or used in attractions is, Len, you want to talk about it? We talked about this on the show not too long ago, but they had trivia going on the screens over there in the pre-show, and they were a little outdated, Len.
Yeah, so the trivia was inadvertently difficult because the trivia dealt with minor characters and shows that went off the air 10 years ago. So,
you didn't know Barry Costa was the mayor of New York City during Spin City?
Yeah, so I knew that, but one of them was like, what's his secretary's name? You know, I'm like, he had a secretary, what? I mean, these are people that in 20 years, you know, won't even be answers in crossword puzzles. It was just it was just bizarre. And the other thing too about the attraction is nobody really knows who Drew Carey is anymore, right?
Except
he's the host of Price is Right.
There you go.
That's kind of
which shows you how much daytime television I watch, right?
407-278-5939 is our number, and we're gonna go with Stu. Hey, Stu.
Stu.
Hey guys, how are you?
Hey.
What's up, man?
Stu, turn on your radio, man.
Hey, man.
Stu? Hey.
No, I'm here, guys. Sorry about that. Hey, I had a question concerning Christmas at Disney World.
Okay.
Santa will still find you. Thanks for calling.
NORAD.
So, no, listen, we were going to go down, actually, you know, the week of Christmas, arrive, like, the day after Christmas and spend through New Year's, okay? So what my question is, on property or off property? Because, I mean, I'm looking, like, even at a value resort, it's $159 a night. And I've looked at some of the other hotels that I could see, and, I mean, I can get, like, $100 a night for, like, a Radisson right there, right around the corner. Now, we will have annual passes, but, you know, I don't know if Extra Magic Hours plays any deal over the holidays or not.
Well, the park's still going to be open. The Magic Kingdom's going to be open until at least 11 p.m. nightly anyway. And it's going to open at 8 during Christmas anyway, right? The only thing you're going to be missing is you're going to miss that first full hour when the park is open for morning Extra Magic Hour for Disney Resort guests. But that's 7 a.m. And really, not that many people are getting up at 7 a.m. to be at the parks. Or getting up at 6:30 or 5:30 a.m. to be at the parks at 7 a.m. So that's not that bad. I would stay offsite. In fact, I have stayed offsite before. I mean, it's not bad at all.
Scopa, any thoughts on that?
The only difference is like that first hour.
Yeah, the first hour.
Steve, I gotta agree with Len, especially at that time. The parks are, I mean, the extended operating hours do not justify the extra money that you'd be spending. I'd think about an all-star vacation home myself, you know.
Oh, vacation or a condo, vacation condo.
Yeah, yeah.
Something small, like a couple bedrooms, it'd be way less expensive than what you're paying for Disney. The other thing I would say is, are you going to need a rental car?
No, I actually have my car. Yeah, I have my car.
Oh, you're fine. Okay, cool. I was going to say, I just updated our blog posts for best rental car deals for the rest of 2010. And Thrifty has some fantastic deals. If anyone's listening and going over Christmas, read our blog, you know, blog.touringplans.com. I just updated the recent post about rental car codes. And Thrifty, you could save like $250 for the week by using this one special rental code at thrifty.com.
Hey, Steve, there's another thing you need to consider Christmas time. I think a lot of people overlook this. And the last several years, they've been adding holiday surcharges too. I think it's just the character meals and maybe the buffets or whatever.
Yeah, some buffets too, yeah.
Yeah, so as you're budgeting for your vacation, keep that in mind. And if you can find some historical data, I would say add 10 to 15% to what you see as far as the meal, the prices for the meals for buffets, just to play it safe.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, $4, that's great, guys. Thank you very much.
$4 for adults, $2 for kids. Yeah, it's crazy.
Wow.
Thanks, Stu. 407-278-5939 is our phone number, and we have another call on the line. Hi, caller.
Hello. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good. Who are we speaking with?
This is Jennifer from Nebraska.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hey, Jennifer.
Go Huskers.
So you've heard about that then. Okay, that's great. I actually have kind of a way in advance question for you.
42.
We've been going every year
Tuesdays.
Since 06. You know, once a year, we've been coming down 9 days. This next year, we're looking at maybe going down in June, and then again, like the previous caller, that week right after Christmas.
Okay.
And so we're kind of, we've always been, you know, that Magic Your Way, Park Hopper, DDP, Loyalists, all the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're kind of trying to figure out with, you know, the option of looking into 2 6-day trips. That's a 12-day deal. And so is it cheaper? Is it better, smarter, whichever terminology you want to use, even, you know, dumber, to do the annual pass route for those two trips?
Are you're staying at a Disney resort?
We absolutely, yeah, actually we are loyalists to Scopa Towers. we love Pop Century. So
yeah, if you're going for 12 days, remember the thing that's going to get you is that you can only buy up to 10 days on a Magic Your Way pass, and then the 11th and 12th days are essentially the same as your first and second day.
Exactly.
On a pass. So I think the annual pass definitely makes sense. You also do get certain discounts with an annual pass that are often better than others you can get. Sometimes it's only $10 a night, $5 or $10 a night, better than
right.
whatever other current discount. But still, over 12 nights, it's $120.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not bad. So I would say, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. With the whole dining thing too, though, you know, because we do like the DDP. We like the dining plan, you know, that one table, one counter. Is that still an option with annual pass? Because I've heard yes, and I've heard absolutely not. I've heard both ends of the spectrum. So we do have to take the dining into consideration. If we lose out on that dining plan, we do like table meals. And so then that's, you know, that added expense of out-of-pocket dining if annual pass doesn't work with that. Correct?
Scopa?
Well, I was going to say, Jennifer, what about Tables of Wonderland? You know, for whatever it is, $60 or $75. $70, one person, head of the family, who would have an annual pass, purchase at Tables of Wonderland, which is, I think it's $65 or $70. And over the span of 12 days, it's going to pay for itself because you'll be getting 20% off your meal. So that would be the thing that I would suggest. I'm not sure the dining plan is the best option anymore.
Okay, yeah, that's just like our 9-year-old right now is 9. She's going to be 10 next year. So that takes her from that, you know, wonderful hot dog and cheese pizza for every single meal up to the actual adult meals, which, you know, as we know that a lot of 10-year-olds just can't eat that much food. And so that was an added, you know, question in the back of our heads as well was, you know, can she actually eat that much food and still be worth it?
Yeah.
So I hadn't heard anything really about the Tables in Wonderland. So thank you for that. I will definitely be looking into that further.
Cool. Thank you, Jennifer.
She works. Thanks,
Jennifer.
Good luck.
Hey, good luck.
Yeah. We have another caller on the line, and it's Kim from Maryland. Kim, you're a couple days early.
She's
on the ground?
She's on the ground. It's surprising.
Thank God. I got out of make it just in time, but that's a whole other story. Nothing to do with all
She's flying out tomorrow.
Are you leaving tomorrow, Kim?
No, she's really at the airport right now.
Yeah, I really am. I'm at Miami Airport.
Are you really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. No way.
Long walkways and horrible internet. That's Miami International Airport.
Wow.
Yay.
What can we do for
you? I had to call and tell you, I went to the D23 event last weekend.
Yes.
And we may have hope for pizza at Via Napoli.
Really?
I'd heard rumors before from people that the reason that pizza and bagels don't work at Walt Disney World is because Florida water just doesn't work for it.
Uh-huh.
Well, Disney studied the chemical properties of the water in Italy, and this is what they told us, and they did something to the water. I don't know if they did added an additive. They did something to change it so that they would get better crust.
They
so
actually told you that?
Well, the group that runs Via Napoli also runs a pizzeria in Disneyland and in New York. I think it's the Patina Group, right?
Yes.
And they have the same sort of spiel in downtown Disney in California and then in the New York area, that they distill the water and then add whatever minerals are missing to make it look water from Naples. Yeah.
That's what they shared with us. And so they claim it's going to be real pizza.
And it'll be it'll be very, very, very expensive pizza as well.
Okay, so it's
going to be family style dining. The tables they say right now are planned to hold up to 28 people.
300 and, I heard is the capacity. Yeah.
Yeah, and it looks like it's some sort of strange mix. There are strange sounds going on in the airport, and it sounds like an alarm. So I'm probably gonna get off now.
Duck and cover, Kim.
You guys back.
See you in Cuba.
9:45.
All right. Tell the TSA we said hello.
Yeah, Kim was at that D23 event. You know, a couple other people. I know Deb Wills was at the D23 event. I believe last I saw, she was in the chat room. Yeah, she's still there, or someone using her name. And that's cool that they were able to kind of preview that. Interesting. We have our next caller on the line. Hi, caller.
Hey.
Hi, who's speaking with?
This is Kayla from South Carolina.
Hey, Kayla.
And I'm going to go get one of my family members who has a question.
Sure.
Okay.
And that question is?
Hold on. Oh, he's coming right now.
Okay.
It's the 3 parade.
All right, here he is.
Hello, this is Greg.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, Greg.
From South Carolina.
From South Carolina. I'm on the air.
Yeah, you're online. What can we do for
you? Oh, excellent. I had Kayla in there calling while me and my son were getting started on Lost for tonight. So I had a question. We're going down in about 4 weeks. This will be our first time down as DVC members, and we're planning on buying annual passes and we'll take advantage of the $100 off annual passes for me and the kids. The question is, my kids are 10 and 14. Do I have to have any kind of proof that they're my kids when I'm buying the ticket to get the discount?
No one's ever asked me if Hannah's my kid when I take her.
As long as your DNA tests are up to date, you're okay.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to take a quick swab of inside both of your cheeks. But other than that, yeah, you know.
Right.
You'll be fine.
Yeah, I just wondered, because of the discount, because I know that, it's supposed to be only people living in my household. I mean, because it would be nice to be able to get a pair for my parents and stuff, too, but just didn't know if they require you to show a, birth certificate or anything like that.
Well, hopefully your kids look like you, so there wouldn't be any question.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if you went there with 12 kids, they may they may question it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that would be absolutely fine.
Okay, excellent. And so good to talk to you guys. We'll listen to you all the time. Really appreciate all the work you'll put in.
Have a great trip.
Thanks, Trick. Yeah, have fun.
All right. Take care.
I really feel sorry for ABC tonight.
407-278-5939.
We're going to end up as a footnote in Disney's next quarterly report. Well, lost. We thought they'd pull up better numbers. Went up against the WDW Today Show.
Are they going to be canceled,
Yeah, exactly. I bet you it's not on after this.
I bet you we have so many listeners that tonight's the last show that Lost is on. They cancel it tomorrow. That's my guess.
We can't compete.
We are the prognosticators of prognosticators on this show. We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
This is Kyle.
Hey, Kyle.
Hey, I'm a regular listener to the show. First of all, it's a really great show, and thanks for putting it up.
Thank you.
Me and my family, are leaving for Disney on Wednesday, and that's during Star Wars weekend. So we were wondering if there was any special events that we didn't know about that we could go to.
A lot of great events, Kyle, going on. What you should probably do, Kyle, is swing on over to studiocentral.com. I've got a link to there's a Star Wars weekend site, and over there you're going to find a schedule of events and times, and you're going to be able to find all the events that are going on. I would definitely recommend the Hyperspace Hoopla at 7 o'clock p.m. each night. It gets very crowded, but it's totally worth it. It's really, really, really a lot of fun. I think you and your parents will get a real kick out of it. So be sure to go check out that show. And otherwise, a lot of the shows in the Premier Theater are very nice. They're air conditioned, which is always nice. So take a little bit of it in and enjoy. See what parts you like and kind of take it in that way.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling in.
Cool.
Thanks, Phil.
You're welcome. Talk to you later. Okay.
See you, Cole.
Take care.
You're welcome.
Have fun.
Hey, so wait, Kyle will be there Wednesday. I'll be there Friday for Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, you guys just missed out on having burgers together.
Yeah, I'll be in. I'll be testing new touring plans this weekend in the Magic Kingdom. All day Saturday, all day Sunday. So if anyone sees me there, stop by, say hey.
Cool. We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, Odie.
L'chaim. What?
How's it going, everybody?
That sounds like Goofy.
It's Goofy.
Maybe. Well, I got a question about the Magic Kingdom. I mean, I guess I shouldn't have a question, but I want to ask anyway.
Hey, Goofy, Pluto's a dog. What are you?
I get that all the time, and I'm a dog. I play the role of being Goofy, but I'm actually rather intelligent.
I love your film work, Goofy. Go ahead.
Well, I'm glad someone does, because I'm glad Disney got good insurance, because doing those stunts, if I didn't have good insurance, man, I'd be in trouble.
What can we do for you tonight, Goofy? What's your question?
I'm very scared.
Well, first I want to say happy birthday to Annette.
Thank you.
We have soundboard Annette on the show.
Oh, thank you.
That's
Annette. Wait a second. That's not like my voice.
Wow.
Nice. Wow, yeah, it's a conference call.
The question I was going to ask about, when do I have to get rid of my barnstormer?
You know what, Goofy, I don't know if they've told you this or not, but I think it's staying.
Oh, well.
I'm pretty sure it's staying. Yeah, he just lost a bet. Yeah, the last set of plans I saw say it's going to stay. And I hear from Jim Hill. If you guys know him from JimHillMedia.com.
I love JimHillMedia. That's actually Van Stitch Kingdom. That's where I go for news.
Yeah, Jim's fabulous. Jim thinks that Jim's pretty sure that Barnstormer is going to stick around, and we may actually see Minnie's house survive demolition at least for a while, because it's going to be the way that they do character greetings in Toontown while all the other construction is going on. That's the latest rumor. So I'm almost positive Barnstormer is going to stay. It's going to be rethemed into something more appropriate, like some sort of, some other type of ride, but it'll be around for a while. So you have nothing to worry about, Goofy.
So does that mean that my pal John is going to come down there they're still going to be kind of a Toontown fair?
It's actually going to be part of Fantasyland. You're getting annexed, like Belgium during the war.
Belgium? You know, I have good waffles, you know.
They do, and fries, apparently. Awesome.
I was a really lame joke on my end.
Awesome. Well, you are Goofy after all.
Awesome. I was lame on your end.
Great. Well, thanks for checking in, Goofy. Appreciated it. I think there's some kids who are looking for you right now.
Oh, maybe. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks, Goofy.
Thanks, Goofy. And that's Goofy checking in. Very nice.
407-278-5939
is our number. We have our next caller on the line, I dare to ask. But hi, who are we speaking with?
I want Bell to call in.
I'm sorry. This is Kyle again.
Kyle.
Kyle.
Yeah, I was in a hurry kind of last time, so I forgot to ask you a question.
42.
We usually stay at Port Orleans Riverside, but we got talked into staying at Fort Wilderness this time.
Awesome.
So I was wondering if you had any suggestions for staying there.
Yeah, so Fort Wilderness is fabulous. I love it. You definitely want to try breakfast at Trail's End if you can get in there one morning. Dinner's okay, but dude, they've got donuts for breakfast sometimes. I'm just saying. The other cool thing is they got a Murphy bed in the cabin, so it's a bed that folds up into the wall when you're done with it, and that provides hours of entertainment. They've also got movies at night, and it's really wide open. You can kind of walk around and look at things. You look around and see the pool is actually pretty good. It's very pretty. It's got a lot of scenery. The other thing I would say though is wherever you're gonna go, Kyle, are you guys driving or are you guys flying to Disney World?
Oh, We're driving. We're leaving Wednesday morning.
Okay, cool. And so what I would say is, for everywhere but the Magic Kingdom, go ahead and drive from Fort Wilderness instead of taking Disney transportation. It's going to be faster.
So the Magic Kingdom, I heard, can you take the
boat
there?
Yeah, the boat. Yeah, so the only thing I would say about the boat is just watch the weather, because the boat's not going to run during thunderstorms. They'll do buses then. So just watch that.
Yeah.
So drive everywhere but the Magic Kingdom and then take the boat into the Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
I'm in.
Okay. Well, okay, thank you advice there.
Hey, cool. No problem. Have fun on your trip. I'll be in the Magic Kingdom Saturday, Sunday. Say hey. All right, bye.
Okay.
All right, man.
See you there. Bye.
About a finger muffin.
I thought he was calling back for the burgers.
4727859 Lots of great stuff at Fort Wilderness. Don't forget the campfire sing-along is also a great activity right there.
Yeah, yeah.
We have our next call, and I think it's from upstate New York or Westchester County.
Westchester County. Phil DeLucia from White Plains. How you guys
doing? Hey, Phil. Hi,
Phil. Hey, Phil, wave to Newell for us.
Okay, I just drove through.
Look out your window, Newell.
I just drove through White Plains.
I have a couple of questions for you gents tonight.
Go ahead.
Gents.
Okay. Have any of you had dinner at Todd English's Blue Zoo?
Yes.
And how was it?
Just okay.
Just okay. So I was searching for Cape May Cafe, and that came up as one of the suggestions, so I figured I would give it a try.
I think it comes up for every suggestion. I see it every time I look.
And there's a reason for that.
Yep.
Okay. So then you suggest that I have dinner somewhere else that evening.
You're looking for seafood?
Yeah.
It's not the place to look for seafood, Phil. I don't know. What kind of seafood entrees do you and Evelyn like to enjoy at a restaurant?
Well, Evelyn just likes any type of seafood. I usually like swordfish or salmon, something like that.
You can get salmon, good salmon, at many other places in Disney World. Have you thought about Narcoozie's?
No, I didn't. But that's always a possibility.
It's a little bit more formal, right?
Mm-hmm. A lot of people in the chat room, Phil, are recommending Flying Fish.
Flying Fish is my
kind of expensive, but it's nice. Yeah.
Actually, so Phil, so if you want something different, right? There's a chef's table at Flying Fish now. You have to ask for it, and you may have to reserve it in advance. But they'll do sort of like a mini presentation thing in the kitchen where the chef will come out and cook whatever, something special for you. And so I think there's probably an additional charge for it. But if you're looking to make like a special evening out of it, try that.
Yeah, I think you would mention that on one of the podcasts. I'll keep that in the back of my mind.
Yeah, one of our researchers happened to stumble in on it the day that they were actually testing the test kitchen or the kitchen, and the Disney execs were there trying to figure out whether it was going to make sense. And one of our guys walked up and said, hey, can we watch the chefs cook? Because it'd be fabulous if we could. And then they were like, oh my God, it's going to work. It's going to work. It was funny. So
That's great.
It's kind of sad when we can't recommend Cape May Cafe or something like the Coral Reef, the seafood.
I'll be honest with you, though. We had dinner at the Coral Reef last October, and we had a nice meal. We enjoyed it.
I ate there in December, and it was better than I anticipated. It was pretty good.
Yeah,
it's crowded and noisy, but geez, but it was food was good.
Yeah, it is very noisy. I have to agree with you there.
Yeah.
Okay, and my second question is: have any of you done the Undiscovered Future World tour?
Undiscovered Future World, is that the one on the Segway?
No, it's a tour through Epcot. And it basically was a description of, how Walt's desire to form the Epcot community where people would live in, this particular community, whatever. I don't have the actual description in front of me, but it looked pretty interesting. And I think it's basically it's like a 3-hour tour of Future World.
A 3-hour tour, you say?
A 3-hour tour. No, I haven't done it. Have you done it yet?
I think that's why he's asking.
Yes, we did the Keys to the Kingdom tour last October, and we really enjoyed it.
I'll tell you one thing, Phil. Regardless of the tours, doesn't matter which tour it is, nearly every tour that Walt Disney World, I've never really heard any negative feedback about almost any of the tours. Most people seem to enjoy them one way or another. And so, since you've taken some tours before, I think you definitely are of the opinion that you enjoy the tours, so I wouldn't worry about that.
Well, I think what I'll do then is I'll do the tour in October, and then I'll get back to you guys, and I'll let you know how it is.
Perfect.
Great. Fabulous.
Okay, and so then I should get rid of my Todd English's reservation and go somewhere else.
Yeah, give that to Steve Medina or someone.
Try Flying Fish, really. You're far enough out in October, you should be able to get into that pretty easily.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thanks, Phil.
Take care, Phil.
Take care. Good night.
407-278-5939 is our phone number, and joining us on the show is Anna Holshow. Hi, Anna.
Hi, how are y'all?
Hey, Anna.
Outstanding.
I am encouraged by the chat to call in with this major math question. I'm counting on Lynn's Mensa training to get us through.
Should be worried. Everyone should be very scared right now.
Lynn, start rubbing your temples and go.
Go ahead.
I'll be back.
Sharpen your pencil. You're going to have to write it down because it doesn't even make sense to me. So here we go.
Really?
You are. I think paper would be good.
All right, man. Okay. Go ahead.
So we booked a Category 11 on the Double Dip Disney cruise. And the reason that we did that is because everyone said if you book really early, you can get an upgrade. And if not, then you're happy with 11. I'm okay. We're just on the ship. It'll be great. So I'm checking to see about maybe upgrading a port, because people say that when you upgrade a port, you can, if they haven't sold it by then it's an even steeper upgrade.
Yeah.
So I've been checking online the availability to see, okay, what are they offering it? What is it right now? So I was looking, and a couple days ago, they had staterooms with veranda. So we're trying to go from 11 to 5. I know, everyone moaned now. That's it. 11 to 5. And it said they have some. And so I was looking at that. And then today, I looked at it, and they said they didn't have any. But when I clicked on a standard, my 11 category, it said, would you like to upgrade to a 5? And then I clicked yes, and it said, you can upgrade to a 5 for $105 per person per day. So that would be $2,100. Okay? Are you ready? The difference between our cabin and the deluxe veranda view, like what we paid in the deluxe veranda cabin, is $1,840.76. So that doesn't compute. If it's $2,100, if $105 per person per day, would be $2,100. And then, but the difference between if I just booked it right now and forgot about my old reservation, that difference would be $1,840.
Yeah, that doesn't even make sense if one number had tax and the other one didn't.
No, it did, because I priced it out all the way to the end.
Right, yeah.
Too bad, Anna, you weren't on with this question when Goofy was on. Surely he could answer it since he's from the company.
I want what he's drinking.
Yeah, really?
So, I don't know. I mean, what do you think? Has anyone ever upgraded at the port? I'm trying to get an idea. If they offer me a number, I can say, that sounds really great, or no way.
Every time I go on a cruise, Anna, I've always asked, because I figure, you know, I'm there, I'm excited, you know. And my experience has been with Disney, the price is kind of, the charge they give you for the possibility of charging or upgrading at port has never been really that great of a deal, with Disney at least. I think with Royal Caribbean, they've had some better deals for doing that last-second upgrade. So for Disney, if I were you, I would book the category you want to be in. I wouldn't go – you have to go with the assumption that whatever you book in the end is what you're getting, and I wouldn't, like, pin your hopes on an upgrade, because obviously you could show up there and they may say, well, we're totally sold out. And you in an 11, it's hard to say, because the 12 – like, people in 12 usually get upgraded more so because there's only so many Category 12 cabins. And as it's been explained to me, they use the Category 12 as an advertising piece. You know, that's always going to be the lowest price. So obviously they want to make sure that they have that. But Newell, you're saying that Deb Wills agrees?
Yeah, Deb's in chat saying that she agrees that there's really no deals at the port.
Yeah. So,
well, do you think we're going to be family of four? My only concern is the non-split bathroom. I've never been on a cruise, so I'm not sure if the non-split bathroom thing is going to be a major issue, or we'll be okay with that.
Who's in the cabin?
Yeah, how many people?
Depends on who they are.
Yeah.
Well, two boys, 14 and 10, and me and my husband. So fortunately, I'm the only one hogging the bathroom, but can everyone live with that?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, Newell and I, you and I both shared a Cat 11.
Right.
That one time you and I shared a cabin, and I've done Category 11s, Anna, the past couple trips there on the former MouseFest cruise, reunion cruise, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, it really depends on, I guess, how you guys do in a regular room, because that obviously there's one bathroom. So if it's worth it, you know, if you guys are kind of always fighting over it over hotel rooms, then definitely try to go for a cat. I think cat 10, they start splitting, or is it cat 9? I'm not sure. But, you know, if you're definitely, you don't want to spend a couple of days or a week, you know, fighting over the bathroom.
It's only 5 days. So I think maybe we could just.
I was going to say five or shorter, it wouldn't be such a deal. I mean, such a big deal.
Right.
The longer, obviously, the longer, you know, the 10-day and higher.
5 days, though. 5 days with one bathroom? That seems like an eternity to me.
Well, okay, so I have a backup plan. My backup plan is, I was reading on the boards that you can, if you go work out in the workout room, or even if you don't work out, you can use the showers in there.
I knew you were going to say that. As soon as you started with, I've read the workout thing. Yeah, go ahead.
No, what I've done, Anna.
So, I ride the bike for 10 minutes. I go take my shower.
But that's a long way to go for a shower.
But I'll work out.
Yeah, no, you can do that. You can also do, I mean, don't forget there's also public restrooms on a couple different decks. I know that if my wife was in the using the restroom for whatever, if she was showering, doing her hair, whatever, and I needed to use it, I would, you know, it's easy enough also to, you know, go down to the next deck or whatever and use one of the public ones.
Just knock on the guy next in the room next door.
Well, I'll just look up our fish extender list, see the people who have the lowest number of people, and say, hi, fish extender gift, and are you using that curling iron? Can I just get in there? Great. Okay, my last question is, or not question, but I want to hear Lynn talk about the touring plans that he's testing in Magic Kingdom. Go, Lynn. Now I'm hanging up. Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
So the plans that we're testing next week are one-day plans for families with both smaller children and older children, or younger children and older children, where you want to – we've got kids who want to ride Space Mountain. You've got kids who want to ride Dumbo, and the family's not splitting up like they do in the Happy Family plans to see everything. So if it's pretty interesting, actually. So this is so we've got, you know, 100 and some plans on the site, 140 touring plans on the site that cover pretty much every scenario. This is by far the most frequent request that we get for a single plan that combines everything in the Magic Kingdom for little kids and older kids all in one day. So I've got a couple of special guests that'll be with me touring the parks and testing out the plans, and I've got like three or four different variations of it, and we'll be testing it out Saturday, and then the two best plans we'll retest again on Sunday after making whatever tweaks are necessary on those two.
Cool. We've got our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Derek from Pennsylvania.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, not too much. Heading down next month to Scopa Towers, the 19th through the 25th. We're doing counter service dining plan for the first time, and I wanted to get your guys' opinion. If you had to pick one counter service in the world to not miss, what would you do?
Oh, man. All right, Scopa, one counter
service. Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Ooh.
I got two. Go ahead.
Well, that's not the question, Lynn. You got to pick
silent.
One.
You can, one.
I'll let him have two. It's okay.
Don't enable him now.
Wow.
All right.
Wow.
I know what you guys are going to say, but I'm going to go with something different. Go ahead.
Let me see. I'm going to eliminate everything in Animal Kingdom.
What?
That's right. I'm going to eliminate everything in the studios.
What?
You know, this is going to sound funny, but I'm going to say Tangerine Cafe.
What?
Wow.
That's a decent choice in Epcot. I like two things. Sunshine Seasons.
Yes.
I really like Flame Tree Barbecue. Because, I don't know, I like meat. But, go ahead.
Sunshine Seasons is a good choice, Len. And I think the other one is got to be Pecos Bill's for the...
Yes.
For the
mispronunciation?
For the
mispronunciation on rye? Is that it, Matt?
for the Fixin's Bar by Lard makes it worth it. So those two restaurants really, really, really stand out for me. And in chat, I'm seeing a lot of people writing Tangerine Cafe. Interesting choice. Deb likes Tangerine Cafe. So it must be an all ears thing, Mike. Must be the new all ears cafe over there.
At least we didn't say electric umbrella.
Yeah, right. Jeez.
Awesome, guys. I really appreciate it. I met up with Matt and Scope at Magic Meets. I was the one with the poorly cut mohawk.
Ah, yes.
we called you Mohawk Derek.
Yes. I'm still wearing my limited edition Mike Scope at Epcot signed hat right now. So.
Nice. Limited edition. Limited to one. That's nice.
Yes, exactly. But hey, thanks, guys, for the phone.
Thank you.
Thanks, Derek.
Hey, have a good night.
Take care.
I can go for some Moroccan food, dude, now, really? Some hummus?
So, Noel, you agree? Which restaurant did you pick? I know you mentioned you liked Pecos Bills, but was that your choice?
No, Sunshine Seasons would have been my first choice for the...
Just the variety and the freshness of the food, right?
Yeah. And free drink refills.
I actually forgot that, yeah.
They make a great pork chop there. That's all I'm saying. Really, really good.
Ooh, you've tried the pork chops, or how were they?
Oh, very good.
good English. 407-278-5939. We have our next caller on the line. Hello, caller.
Hello, caller.
Hi, this is Jessica from Alaska.
Alaska?
Wow.
Skagway? It's like a whole different country. Go ahead.
It's like almost the Soviet Union.
You can see it. You know.
How's it going?
Good, good. Question. We are going down, and my in-laws live in Florida, and they're going to meet us for part of the trip and stay at the resort with my kids. And we're renting a room at another resort.
You are so smart.
We're paying for both rooms, and so they're both in our names. But I don't know if I need to tell Disney or if they can just go give us two separate keys to the world. And my in-laws
can use. It's not a problem. I've had like three reservations on the same night before. It's not a problem at all. Disney will take your money, I predict. Go ahead. It will be absolutely fine with you giving them your money. I'm very confident in that.
And then I was wondering if you guys have ever done the backyard barbecue.
Oh, I haven't done that yet. That's the backyard barbecue is over at Fort Wilderness.
Yeah, I know somebody works there, but I don't know. I have never done it.
Len, have you ever done it?
I've not, but I've heard nothing but good things about it.
Yeah.
I mean, the main question that people have about it, Beth, and you can appreciate this from your Alaskan summers, the main concern people have is about mosquitoes, but Disney does a great job with those.
DDT.
Yeah, it's a TDT, exactly.
it's really crazy.
It's actually radiation. It's completely different, but yeah, same idea. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, so that's under control. But other than that, yeah, I've heard the food is good, the entertainment's great. If there's one dinner show, I'm not a really big fan of the dinner shows. I think the Spirit of Aloha thing is, it's not that great. And a lot of people like Hoop-Dee-Doo. I think Hoop-Dee-Doo is just okay. I think we get the most positive feedback from the barbecue. So.
Wow. We should have done that during Tenfest.
Yeah.
Well, the good news is I think we all have trips coming up.
Yeah.
I'd love
tomorrow.
I would love to check it out.
You're just tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Well, thank you guys. I love the show.
Thank you, Jessica. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Okay. See you.
Take care.
Go Huskies.
Go Huskies. That's UConn, isn't it?
Well. It's Alaska, Alaskan Huskies, I guess.
Oh, mush.
Yeah, he's rooting on the species, actually.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Yeah, not the team from Connecticut.
Right. Or Washington State.
Oh, yeah.
We have our next caller on the line. Hello, caller.
Hi, this is Keith from Massachusetts.
Hey, Keith.
Keith.
I had called last month, actually, to ask about doing the ultimate touring plan, so I just wanted to call in and give an update. I actually tackled the beast last weekend. And
how was it?
It was fun. I mean, to borrow a Len phrase, it was a hoot. I ended up doing 52 attractions. It wasn't record-breaking time, but it was 12 and a quarter hours it took basically overall. And it was a long day. I actually had a pedometer on that day, just for anybody's reference that does this in the future. I registered 25,000 steps, which is about 12 miles of walking.
Yep. So that's awesome.
It was a long day. You know, one other funny thing I was doing with my friend Brian, and you know, one funny thing that happened, we're going through a couple hours through the plan, and then it was you know, time to do the Toontown Hall of Fame. Now Brian doesn't have kids. I have a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old daughter, so we've definitely done Toontown, you know, Hall of Fame, stood in line before. So I could see Brian was, you know, a little bit worried about standing in line with all these, you know, young kids dressed up, waiting to see the princesses. So it's already kind of an awkward situation. we get up to get our signature. Well, come to find out, the characters won't sign a piece of paper if it's got writing on it, which we had no idea about. So, like, you know, I had the, you know, the stuff that I'd been jotting down for, you know, planning for the day and everything. They would not sign that. So I was like, oh, really? Boy, I can't believe I've messed up the whole day. You know, we don't have a blank piece of paper. So I'm looking at the other kids in line. I'm like, maybe I can ask somebody to rip
exactly.
out a piece of paper on their autograph book. But luckily, people that work the, you know, that work the line, they have blank pieces of paper and they have extra pens. So that saved the day, you know, because otherwise, you know, we just would have been, we'd have blown it right then and there.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Hey, kid, I know I'm in front of you in line for this princess, but can I have a sheet of paper?
That's like... I've always felt very comfortable standing in line to meet the princesses because I've always had my daughters with me. You know, standing there with just another guy and, you know, two guys standing in line.
Yeah, that's
like,
not weird at all, right?
Yeah. So definitely, anybody who does it in the future, definitely bring a blank piece of paper so you can get the autograph.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah. That's so awesome. I actually had one question for you. My next big trip coming up in Thanksgiving, and we're going to be trying to drive down for the first time. And we're driving from Massachusetts. I'm going to do it straight through. So I was wondering if you guys had any recommendations for, you know, activities the next day after we get there, because I figure we're probably going to be pretty wiped from the drive.
Where are you staying?
We're staying in Wilderness Cabins.
Oh, cool.
There's a lot of great activities over if you hop over to Fort Wilderness. Archery, canoeing. There's the campfire sing-along, which we mentioned earlier. Those are all the campfire is free. The canoeing and archery and horseback riding, they all have some nominal charges for them. Not terrible, really, in price. And they're really a lot of fun. There's also the Segway tour over at Fort Wilderness. Lots of great activities. You don't have to go very far to have that. There's also a tour. I don't know what day it is. There's some tour. There's an architectural tour of Wilderness Lodge. It's only on certain days, and it's early in the morning. I'm sure on All Ears Net you can check that, Keith, and they'll have all the information for you over there. But that's something you might want to check out. It's free, and it's pretty cool because they kind of go through the whole lobby and explain it all to you. So, you know, something to check out.
And I was also thinking at that point, I mean, the various resorts would have their Christmas decorations up, right, for Thanksgiving week, the week after we'll be there. So is that something else that you would suggest to do?
Oh, yeah, that's a lot of fun to do. Lots of people like to check out all the decorations all across property. And Wilderness Lodge has got some great ones, so you're in luck.
Great. All right, cool. Well, hey, Len, good job on you and your whole team on the Ultimate Touring Plan. That was a lot of fun to go through.
I mean, thanks, Keith. Hey, send in a report if you haven't done it yet. Please.
Yeah, I got to post the pictures. I'll definitely send it to you.
All right, man, cool. Thanks.
407-278-5939. I'm getting word that Annette is actually listening in her car on her cell phone. So,
Hello.
Happy birthday, Annette.
Kiss my grits.
407-278-5939 is our number. Let's take our next caller on the line. Hi, caller.
Hey, guys. It's Dan in Arizona. How you doing?
Hey, Dan. Is this Dan of Dan and Becca?
Go, hey, Suns!
This is Dan of Dan and Becca. That's correct.
Tell Becca I said, hey, congratulations, you two kids.
Thank you very much. Yes,
is this the Len show?
Yeah, no, right?
Apparently it is. Anyways, hey, I have a question for you. I'd like an answer from each of you just to see, because I have a feeling a couple of you, I know how you'll answer. We just got back from our 10-day trip, and right. Unfortunately, during the trip, both of us got sick.
Ooh.
And we decided we've got 50 DVC points that we have to use before they expire at the end of the year. And since we're expecting in October, we know it has to be the next couple months.
I can be down in 2 days.
Yeah, exactly.
What's that?
I can be down in 2 days.
4 days at Animal Kingdom Lodge during the week.
That wasn't the way. We made a reservation, but because of work and all timing and all that, it has to be around 4th of July.
Ooh.
So we're coming in July 1st for okay. 4 days.
Okay.
So for 5 days. Okay, so my question is on the 4th of July itself, mm-hmm. which park would you go to?
Hollywood Studios.
Oh, please.
How did I know you were going to say that?
It's going to be the least crowded, and you'll get your 4th of July fireworks.
Yeah, I kind of have to agree with that.
Okay. So do you think that it'll be less crowded or equal with regards to Epcot?
Less crowded. Studios won't even close, like, for capacity.
Yeah, that's the thing. So last year the studios wasn't bad at all, was it? It was the park to be in.
Yeah. I mean, the Magic Kingdom will close for capacity at certain points in the day. Epcot just doesn't close because Epcot doesn't close.
But it'll still be crowded.
But it'll be very, very crowded. Right.
So if we look back at the wait times from last year, the Animal Kingdom and the studios were the two parks to be in on those days. They didn't that didn't ever have huge wait times, because everyone's figuring that, we're going to go to this park and we're just going to stay here all day.
And here's the other thing, is we noticed that for the entire time we're there, of course, it's the only night they're offering Fantasmic, and they're only offering it one time. So will that, make more people go to the park that day? Because if they're there right around that same weekend, it's the only night they can see Fantasmic.
You mean on the 4th itself?
On the 4th. The 4th is the only night during that whole five-day period that they're showing Fantasmic.
Yeah.
Of course.
Don't keep in mind also that Disney, what they do is they typically put out a schedule for Fantasmic, and then they start adding in schedule. You can actually look at, if you go to Studio Central, you can look at the Fantasmic schedule for July 2009. Yeah. And for 2009, the schedule was 9 and 10:45. So I would be shocked if they don't add a second showing to that, as well as showings around that. Last year they had it on July 5th as well, and the 7th. But nothing before that.
Did they add those?
Yes.
Because it got closer?
Yeah. That's typically their MO at this point, is they put out a schedule way in advance, and it's really paltry, to say the least. And then as they get closer, within a month or so sometime in June, you're going to see they're starting to popping up over there. Lots of different added times. I would be really shocked if they don't add a second showing to that schedule there, especially for July 4th.
Okay. Well, and you think they might even add another night or two while we're there?
Yeah, based on the schedule from last year, they had one on July 5th, and there were two shows that day, July 7th. I'm not seeing anything in the first couple days before that. So at least, but again, if I was a betting man, I would put money down on July 4th.
Okay, so what about Mike and Mike? I didn't hear you guys. Did you guys say studios as well?
I'll let Mr. Newell go first.
I did agree with the studios, absolutely.
Okay.
All right, so now it's me, Dan. I'm going to say I would do two parks that day. I would do Magic Kingdom in the morning, and then right around 12:01, I would head over to Epcot, where I think I'd have a little bit more breathing room than any of the other parks, despite what these guys say. That's just my own opinion.
Now, what does Epcot do? Do they do anything special on the 4th of July, or is it just illuminations?
Well, I think they'll probably have a patriotic tag that's at the end of illuminations, as does the Magic Kingdom. Magic Kingdom fireworks are very nice, too. The thing is that it's just so crowded. I've been in the studios, and I've been in Magic. I mean, they're all more crowded on July 4th than any other day. I just think there's more breathing room in Epcot, that's all.
Okay. And then over at studios, they have fireworks. Is it like Sorcery in the Sky, or is it just a fireworks display?
No, it's different.
Yeah, it's different. It's just a fireworks display to patriotic music.
Oh, okay. So it's not like a return of Sorcery in the Sky for one day a year.
No, unfortunately not.
Oh, that'd be nice. Yeah.
It's kind of short, to tell you the truth. I wasn't that impressed by it. It's not the best fireworks I've ever seen. The New Year's fireworks is far better. But that being said, it's far easier to get into that park and enjoy it. And, of course, you can see Fantasmic. So you get to see two fireworks shows, theoretically.
That's true. All right. Well, you guys have been helpful.
Thank you, Dan.
Becca says hello.
Hi, Becca.
Hello, Parker.
All right, boys.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
Take care. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
All right.
407-278-5939. Before we get to our next caller, I want to remind all of you that this live show of WDW Today is being sponsored by AllEars.net, your one-stop shop for Walt Disney World, the Disney Cruise Line, and Disneyland. All Ears has menus of all the Walt Disney World restaurants, comprehensive photos of all the resorts, sections on traveling and special challenges, and more. Be sure to subscribe to All Ears, a weekly email newsletter all about Walt Disney World, and join over 119,500 subscribers who receive a dose of pixie dust in their inbox each week. Visit allears.net today. And already, you can tell from a couple of different calls we had already today, there were definitely some answers you could have found at allears.net, like about the backyard barbecue and other reviews of that over there, along with some other information. So definitely great resource. Check them out. And, of course, they're great sponsors of ours. So we have our next caller. Lots of great calls. And the phone lines are open for you, 407-278-5939. We have our next caller on the line. Hello, caller.
Hi, this is Alyssa from Fishers, Indiana.
Hey, Alyssa.
Hey, how are you guys all doing?
Outstanding.
You guys caught me off guard when I got through. I was just about ready to bite into my cheeseburger. That would have been bad.
Cheeseburger.
Do you want us to hang up on you?
No, please don't.
Okay.
No, it was from Five Guys, so I was, been looking forward to it.
I'd dump the show for Five Guys Burger.
Wait, Five Guys? Oh my God, Five Guys! I was there last weekend. I think I posted
Careful.
A tweet that I used my entire daily caloric intake on one burger.
I saw that tweet.
Yeah, oh my God.
Yeah, I saw that tweet. And I've been eating all day because of my sister's open graduation open house, so, you know, I'm way over my calorie intake.
That's all right. It's always tomorrow.
That's true. I have a question for you guys. We're going down October. Lynn, I actually emailed you about the trip. We're going down October 7th through, I believe, the 16th. And we're hoping, we're going ahead and planning our dining for the table services ahead of time, hoping that maybe they'll extend free dining.
Yep. I remember this email, yes.
Yeah, about 5 extra days.
Yeah.
So my question to you is, we have several restaurants, and we would like you guys to pick a different restaurant for us to eat at.
Okay.
So it would be another table service one, and the ones that we've gotten reservations for already are La Cellier, we got Cuisina, and The Wave. We're doing Chef Mickey's for our anniversary dinner, and Ohana. We really enjoy Ohana. And we're also doing Sci-Fi for an afternoon lunch. So we've also eaten, when we went down for our honeymoon, we ate at Narcoosi's based on your guys' recommendation, and it was amazing, but we want to try something new. So what would you guys recommend?
Besides dumping Sci-Fi?
Yeah, really. Well, if she's going for a lunch, I mean, just really stick to the burger. Hey. The burger's the best thing there.
Is it better than Five Guys that I'm eating right now?
No.
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 And I like Sci-Fi, and I don't think it's better.
Okay.
Did you say you ate at Chico?
We did. We have not eaten at Chico. We ate at the other one there.
Boma.
We ate at Boma, over our honeymoon as well, and that was pretty good.
Chico is a great restaurant. I would really highly recommend that one.
Okay.
Guys, Newell, one.
Chico, yes.
I like the Chico idea as well. Let me think. What else would I recommend? California Grill, but that's kind of stuffy.
It's expensive.
And and I hate to say it, but sometimes it's hit or miss.
Okay.
Kona's a great choice.
Kona, but that's more casual. Are you looking for something more formal, Alyssa, or something more casual?
It really doesn't matter. I mean, I don't think we really have any formal ones that we're going to.
Okay, that's true. You don't want to bring this stuff. Yeah. Good point. Let me think. Let me look through the unofficial guide here. What about, Beaches and Cream?
We're actually eating there for lunch sometime. So I'm excited. If we don't get the free dining, I don't know what we're going to do, because I'm going to be upset we didn't get all these places to eat.
Let's see. After that, then Chico is really highly rated by their people. These are the places that I'm looking at right now are all have above 90% satisfaction rates. You've got Le Cellier. Ooh, the Fountain is also, since we're talking about burgers, the Fountain at the Dolphin is really good for burgers.
Ooh, okay.
And then,
I think there's a mosquito here.
I'm thinking. Chefs de France.
In Epcot?
Yep.
Okay.
Those would be my choices.
Okay.
Cool.
Awesome.
Don't forget also.
We're watching.
I was just going to say, I know you're kind of you're hoping for the free dining, but also don't, make sure you do your math and look at the option for getting a discount on your hotel room, and then even add just paying for the dining plan. You may actually find yourself saving some money going that route, or at least coming out at about the same rate. So don't limit yourself to just that. Do some, if you don't have if you're not using a travel agent, do some calculations there, and you might be surprised by what you find.
Okay, that'd be great. We were watching Lou's show last night, and he broke on and he said, "Oh man, Hotchberg is broadcasting out from the studios trying to steal my thunder." So we had to switch over and watch yours, because, of course, yours was the first podcast I started listening to. So
nice.
Everything is going just as I planned.
yeah.
Nice. Thank you, Alyssa. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for letting me ask my questions. So.
Anytime.
No problem at all.
Thank you, Alyssa.
All right, bye.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. And some good restaurant options over there. It's always a good problem to have to figure out which restaurant you want to eat at.
I forgot about that, Jigga. That's a good call, man.
Thank you. We have our next caller on the line. It's Tyler and Trish. Hi, Tyler and or Trish.
Yes, both of us.
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great. What can we do for you tonight?
Oh, we just got a few questions. We're going to be down starting the end of next week.
Nice.
Woo! 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 our living room is full of different clothing items that are being prepared to be packed. Question for Lynn with the lines.
Yep.
Is there any work being done to add a search to the lines chat? And the reason I ask is because my wife, who is generally not tech savvy, I got her an iPod Touch for her birthday, and she's now addicted to lines.
So for our listeners who don't know what lines is, is the unofficial guide's mobile wait time application. And one of the features that we added to it was a chat, so you can talk to people about planning for Walt Disney World. The interesting thing is, we thought it would be great for people to meet up in the parks. That was its primary use, and that is what that is a large component of what it does. But it's also being used for trip planning, which is really interesting. I'll mention it to Henry, our developer for Lines, to see what he thinks about it. We're thinking about separating different components of the chat into different tabs. So maybe one for people who are in the parks right now, just to make it easier to find them. It's a good question. I'll ask.
Okay,
by the way, don't forget the touch won't work in the parks, right? Because you'll need Wi-Fi for that.
Well, that was my third question, but I'll skip to that one first.
Okay.
And that question was for Mr. Newell. MouseWorld Radio, is that at a 56 kilobits per second rate?
Yes, 56, 22.
And the reason I ask that is because we are taking a in Nebraska here, AT&T is very weak at best, so iPhones are not really an option. So we're taking a Verizon MiFi with us.
Okay.
And we're going to try that in the parks.
Yeah, cool.
So the MiFi theoretically will give us a traveling cloud. So we're going to try the MouseWorld Radio on the way down in the car, and then lines in the parks with the MiFi, and see if that works.
Cool.
Deb Wills is reporting that she used the MiFi on her last trip, and she said that she used it in the resorts, but she said it worked out pretty well.
Great, good to hear.
Cool.
Yeah, because like I said, she is addicted, so I do not think that she'd be able to handle it. The DTs would be very bad.
just gotta have my fix. Just gotta enter a couple posts. We'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. And this is my technologically not savvy wife, right? She was giving me the rundown yesterday of the different badges that can be earned that she needs to work on once we're down there.
That's right.
When I get called in the middle of the afternoon, Pirates is a 5-minute wait. Here it's 1,400 miles away.
Yeah, if we can get there in the next 5 hours, it's a 5-minute wait. That's fine. I'm glad she enjoys it. Yeah,
Lynn, was for you. You had mentioned the 29th and 30th, and when we had talked, you had planned on being in Magic Kingdom on the 31st, too. Have your plans changed?
So I'm probably going to be in the Magic Kingdom since I'm testing all 3 days. So I get in late Friday night. I know I'm going to be in the Magic Kingdom Saturday. I'm almost certain I'm going to be there Sunday. In fact, I probably am certain. And then Monday, haven't made plans for Monday yet, but I'll probably be back there one more time before I come back.
Okay. And our plans right now are for Magic Kingdom for Memorial Day, just having heard anecdotally that it tends to be dead. So we'll give that a try. And if you hear anyone just randomly yelling Lynn at the turnstiles on Memorial Day morning, it might be us.
I'll do my usual duck and cover. So thanks all. Yeah, good luck with your trip, and have a safe journey there, and then we'll touch base once you get in. Here's the interesting thing about it. So I was in Walt Disney World a couple of weeks ago, and I was with Hannah getting off of Spaceship Earth, and I was walking off, and somebody said, "Hey, Lynn," which is a little weird because that's not normally what I expect when I get off of Spaceship Earth. And it turns out there's a cast member who had recognized me,
It happened to me too. It's the same. Yeah. It's the same guy we were talking about that.
It said hi. He's like, yeah, I saw you in the security camera. Figured I'd come over and say hey. That was awesome.
Is that the guy we met inside Spaceship Earth that time?
I think it was Dave.
Yeah, the guy from Tempest also.
Yeah. We met him in. He's awesome.
You got to be careful what you do on that ride now, one.
Yeah, I know. Again, right? Yeah, no more jumping out of that ride and playing along in the Greek math scene again.
And definitely no digging for gold.
Yes.
You get my drift. 407-278-5939 is our phone number. Lots of great calls this evening from all of you, and our phone lines are open for you to give us a call to get your calls in. And certainly with the second hour and something else going on in a certain other network that is not really fun, now is the time, and now is the best time. We have our next caller on the line. Hi, caller. Who are we speaking with?
You're speaking to Shiraz in Queens.
Shiraz, what's up?
Hey, Shiraz.
Hey, I actually have a dining plan question for you. I'm going in August with four assorted family members and myself. We're going to be split in two different rooms.
Okay.
Is it possible to get the dining plan for one room and use those credits between all five people?
Why not? Why couldn't? So are the rooms going to be in different names?
They're going to be in different names.
Why couldn't you do this?
Why? So you have?
I don't. My question is: I've heard yes, and I've heard no. I've heard that you can't use more than the number of people who are in a room at a sit-down meal. I'm wondering if anyone has had any experience with that.
Why does Disney care? Why would Disney care?
Yeah, if I went with you to dinner, right, and you had the dining plan and I didn't, and you go to get the bill and you're paying for it you want to use your dining credits. I don't see a reason why you wouldn't be able to pay for my dining meal, even though I'm not staying in your room, even though I'm not on the dining plan, to use those credits for it. Obviously, you'd be out two credits, and you'd have to make up the math somewhere. But I don't see why that would be an issue.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you're going to be down dining credits, you understand, right?
Right, of course. Yeah, no, yeah. The idea is that we're there for 8 days, but we only have five meals planned. And so if we use, 24 credits from one room of three people, it would basically cover all of it without going over.
Yeah.
I've done that before, and I haven't had any problems.
Yeah, anecdotally, I think it's, number one, for counter service meals, right, not a problem at all. Nobody's expecting you to be...
Right. Right.
In line, I just don't think it's going to be a problem.
The money, the meals are, you might say, already paid for. So what's the difference,
I think the only issue would be if you try to use like a kid's dining plan for someone like me. Then that would be a problem.
Okay, so my next question going on with that is that I'm planning to also go for the half marathon in January, and so I'm planning to upgrade. We'll see if I make it. I'm planning to upgrade my park hopper pass to an annual pass for that trip. Would I do that at the start of this trip in August or at the end, and how does that affect the dining plan if those credits are on my room key?
I would do it at the start because then you get the max amount of credit value because you used your unused days on your ticket towards the annual pass.
Okay, so I have to do it at the start.
Right.
Good point.
Affect the dining plan in any way?
No.
No? Okay.
No, because once you... No, not at all. No.
Cool.
Excellent. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Shiraz. Good luck.
Thanks, Shiraz.
Thank you.
Good luck with the race.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. And Shiraz, be sure to also wave to Scope as you pass by him at the half marathon. We have our next caller on the line.
Wow.
Hello, caller.
Good evening. How are you, gentlemen?
Good. Who are we speaking with?
Hey, Ben. This is, my name's Steven. You might know me as Stevie B, my good sir.
Stevie!
I met you on Friday night while you were live giving the DVD director's cut version of Fantasmic.
Yes, how are you? It's been too long. It's been 48 hours.
I know. Exactly. Today was the great drive back to Atlanta from the marathon 40 hours of being at the park. So
wow.
But I've been enjoying listening to you guys. The being able to listen through the mobile app for it's just phenomenal. So that's great. And if anybody has not downloaded, spectacular. It's a great way to keep yourself company in the car. So thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
Cool. Thanks.
Absolutely. The question I wanted to ask you, you were mentioning a lot of, like, casually some of the differences between the different versions of Star Wars Weekend that have happened over the years. And now that you've actually had a chance to be there all weekend, it seemed, the crowd seemed bigger than in past years. What are your observations about just kind of what you were able to see from while you were there?
Yeah, you're right. I definitely did notice a large elevation in crowds. The first weekend is always more crowded than any other weekend, Dan. Steve, sorry. The thing that you have to keep in mind is that the first weekend draws the largest contingent of geeks because it's the first one, and a lot of them are out there for that merchandise, and a lot of it does sell out that first weekend. So you do get that increase for that first weekend more so than I think the other weekends as well. The other attractions on Friday was really pronounced, and the waits for Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster, non-Star Wars Weekends attractions were, you know, over 60 minutes, which is really a lot, and I think a lot of people noticed that as well. The thing was though, yesterday and even today, the waits were a little better. They weren't great, but you know what? The parks, you know, are what they are, and certainly today was a 7 on the crowd calendar, right, Len?
Let me check. Yep, 7.
Yeah, 7. So that would make more sense. I think maybe you're obviously going to get a lot more. There's always going to be more people in the park on Star Wars weekends. They may not necessarily go right out of the rides, but you're right that I did also notice a lot of people in the park. I mean, Toy Story Midway Mania was routinely over 140 minutes for a wait time. It was just – it was crazy. I mean, B-A-N-A-N-A-S going over and over there because it was just – wow.
It always surprises me. I'm always glad to see that they actually use like a dot matrix display so that they don't max out at a certain number, which, you know, when you see the standby queue time posted, I thought, wow, that is a huge number. I don't think I've ever physically been there to see that. Of course, I've seen it in lines and on touringplans.com, but I've never been there to look up at the sign and say, holy cow, did I just read that right?
Yeah.
And that was just, those digits were just awesome.
Now, of course, the thing to keep in mind, I guess a plus side to all that is as busy as it was there on Friday, Steve, I mean, you can tell the listeners, we were able to get into that last showing of Fantasmic, and it wasn't terrible. It was pretty manageable if you wait out for that second showing.
That is one of the best, you know, if, you know, anybody who thinks that you have to see the first version of Fantasmic, I mean, between the design of the Hollywood Hills Amphitheater and noticeably everybody, you know, goes to that first show and then hightails it back for the resort. If there is a second or, you know, depending on time of year, third showing of Fantasmic, really, those second and third shows are just a great way to maximize as much time as you can get in the attraction and then end your day with a great show. And, I mean, that was just great. And I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to meet up with you on Saturday anymore. I, like a doofus, left my backpack at Studio Catering Company during the day, and then I spent about 4.5 hours trying to find it between Lost and Found and Lost and Found. And
ooh. Newell has a similar experience with that, sort of, with losing something, Mike, at
yes,
Lost and Found.
Yep.
Yeah, sore subject. Sorry, Mike.
Yes, I still hear about it.
Yeah. My apologies, Mike. I really did not mean to fill that.
You're bringing up bad memories.
I apologize. So the initial weekends are bringing out the geeks. Do I... There's no present company excluded type thing. Do I get to wear the moniker of geek, or do I die?
Nice.
Yeah. Rocket as you see fit.
Rocket as
excellent.
You see fit.
Well, thank you. I will wear it proudly. But, gentlemen, I just wanted to, you know, call and say, hey, thanks for keeping me entertained on this long drive back to Atlanta. And just wanted to get your take on years between the shows, because you had some awesome insight that you were talking about. So thanks again very much.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, man.
All right, see you guys.
Bye-bye. 407-278-5939 is our phone number. And it was crazy how busy it was there on Friday at the studios. Lots of people in there, but it was really a lot of fun. It was one of the – I really had a great time at Star Wars Weekends, and I got to meet a lot of different listeners and got to hang out. It was – I think we all had a great time. So very, very fun. It's a very fun event. 407-278-5939. Still plenty of time for our live show here. And don't forget to join us in our chat room. If you're listening right now, go over to www.today.com. and you'll see the link for our chat room over there. And really, you can be part of the show that way. We routinely read comments from the chat room, and you get to share your thoughts with a lot of other people there and read some other comments, and lots of great feedback going on over there, and a good discussion about what we're talking about as well. People always have opinions, and you can share yours and read some other ones. And of course, you get to rub elbows with the likes of Deb Wills or Janine. But you know, Deb is pretty nice. Cool, and so it's a lot of fun. So.
Janine's pretty cool too.
Yeah, not bad. You know, Doritos California checking in. We can appreciate that.
Ooh-hoo.
So, who is right? 407-278-5939 is our phone number, and Ryan from Wisconsin's on the line again. Hi, Ryan.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hey, you got to turn down your radio a little bit.
I am trying to kill it as we speak. The lovely thing about having a 7-second delay here, awesome. I guess that means that I can't swear before I get hung up. So.
That's in place for Len.
All right. First off, I want to thank you, gentlemen. As I was on early, I've been on chat. I'm Figure Daddy on the chat as we speak. We are packed and ready to go. We are leaving on Tuesday for the world, and we just, on behalf of my family, we just want to thank you guys for all the advice that you've given us these past couple of months. Even though we went this past summer, continuing to listening to you guys has really helped us a lot, especially with Star Wars Weekend coming up. Just to make sure that we've got our ducks in a row and that we are actually going to have a good, relaxing time during a very insane Star Wars weekend.
Nice. Good.
I got two real quick questions. One is for Len. With the Crowd Calendar 2.0 coming out,
yep.
Has there been any thought about actually splitting up the crowd levels for each of the parks?
Yes, it's an idea we have under active consideration.
Yeah, because I know that on this coming Saturday, it's listed as a 9 throughout, but I gotta think that that's mainly because of Hollywood Studios and not simply because more for Hollywood Studios than anything else. Would it be better that we try to hit up some of the other parks on Saturday and maybe do the Star Wars weekend on Friday when the crowd calendar is supposed to be a little bit less?
I think, Matt, your advice is to see Star Wars weekends on Fridays, right?
Yeah. Actually, Sundays, I think, is probably the best day. I think Fridays brings out the geeks who want to go check it out. But Friday actually is, I take that back. Friday's a good day because theoretically some of the locals are at work on Friday. So you should be able to see that. It's not a bad day to see it. I would say it's better than Saturday. Saturday you have typically extra magic hour mornings, and that's not a good combination.
Okay. I know. Well, Sunday's not going to work because that's when we're leaving. And our flight leaves at 6, which means that we leave the park at 3. So unfortunately, that's not going to quite work. Also, too, because of the change in crowd calendar, I had called last month. We have one of the Give a Disney Day certificates. That we're planning on using the Fast Pass option.
Yep.
The question that I had for you guys last month was, do I use the Fast Pass for Tuesday, which is for us when we arrive, and we're going to be arriving in Orlando, I think at 11:20, and because we're taking Magical Express, my guess is that we will be at the park somewhere around 2-ish, just, if not a little bit later. Would we be better off using the Fast Pass option for that afternoon, which is at Magic Kingdom, or do we use it during Star Wars weekend to at least get guaranteed on at least a couple of the rides over at Hollywood Studios?
I wouldn't use the studios. Sorry, Lon, I know the question was for you, but I would just say there's more attractions at the Magic Kingdom, right, is the other park?
Yeah, Magic Kingdom is what we're looking at that first day. We've got ADR already at Chef Mickey's, and we're also doing the Wishes dessert thing. So we're pretty much locked into to Magic Kingdom that first afternoon.
I would rather do the Magic Kingdom just because there's more options there to get the value out of the pass. But Len, what do you think?
I think so too. I think then that's the advice we gave last month, right, Ren?
That was, but I just wanted to make sure, simply because, when you talked about the phone call before where Toy Story Mania was was over 2 hours wait, you know, and somebody on the chat room had put down that fast passes at 10 a.m. were for 6 p.m. that day, is I think on Friday.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why I was wondering if your thoughts had changed on that.
Now, I would say just use a good touring plan for the studios.
Yeah, I think so too.
And I've already got them printed out, and this time, unlike last time where I forgot them at home in Wisconsin, I actually plan on bringing them.
Nice.
All right. Thank you so much, gentlemen. You've been a huge help to us, and hopefully we will run into you guys. Maybe, Len, we might run into you at the park on Saturday, depending on what we're going to be doing for Star Wars weekend. Take care.
That'll be great. Have fun. Thanks.
407-278-5939. We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Dan in Baltimore.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Dan.
Got a real quick question. We're trying to pack everything we can into the experience, and we're going to be down the week of the 6th through the 12th of June. And right now we have got an ADR at 1145 at Crystal Palace,
mm-hmm.
and our flight leaves that same day at 4:25. Are we going to have enough time to sort of do the last final character meal and get out of Orlando?
11:45, right?
Yeah, 11:45, and the flight is at 4:25.
Okay, so let's say you're out of the park by 1. You're in the car by 1:30. You're at the airport by 2:15.
Yeah.
Yeah, plenty of time. Yeah, no problem at all.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, take your time. In fact, bring some extra food for the flight, because you know they're not. You know they're not feeding you, Dan, on the plane.
You know, but Dan, if you can use the SkyCap too, if use the SkyCap to check your bags. Sometimes waiting in line can take forever to check your bags.
Right. What's the security like down there?
Yeah, it's pretty tight.
It's hard to say. What 4 o'clock? I don't know. It's really hard.
It's going to be Saturday.
Ooh.
It's really hard to say. Yeah. But I mean,
Saturday is the busiest travel day. But still, I think it'd be fine.
But yeah, Scopa's got a good point.
It's got like two hours. It'll be fine.
Yeah. I mean, if you're running a few minutes behind, you know, use the SkyCap to kind of, you know, get yourself back on schedule there. You know, it's worth it for you to pay $5 to, you know, or whatever it is for the heart, to avoid the heartache over there.
What airline are you flying, Dan?
Pardon?
What airline are you flying?
We're flying Southwest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, use the SkyCap. Use the SkyCap.
That's
yeah,
a
no doubt. Yeah. Yeah, no doubt there.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you much.
Yeah. Thanks, Dan.
There's no question at all.
Yeah, none whatsoever.
Yeah, the lines there can get extremely long. Also, JetBlue really has long lines.
Then you have to take your bag. You know, you check it, and then you have to take it over to the screen as itself. So it's like, you know, what the heck am I doing?
Yeah, exactly. 407-278-55. What is my number? 5939 is our phone number, and we have our next caller on the line. Hi, caller.
It's only been 5 years.
Howdy.
Thanks, Noel, for the backup there.
Sorry about that.
Hi, who are we speaking with?
My name's Billy. I'm from North Carolina. How's everybody doing tonight?
Hey, Billy.
Hey, Billy. We're in North Carolina.
I live in Mebane, which is right between Raleigh and Greensboro.
Yeah, I'm in Greensboro.
Yeah, I went to school in Greensboro at UNCG.
Woo!
But I just had a quick question. We're planning a trip. We're taking my sister-in-law. She just graduated from high school down in June.
Mm-hmm.
And she graduates, like, on the 12th, and we're leaving on the 13th. I've never been to Star Wars weekends, and the 13th is the last day. So I might get like 3 hours in the park after we get down there because we're driving. I just wanted to ask, the one thing you could do at Star Wars weekends, what would it be? Because I know it's going to be busy as all get out.
Hyperspace Hoopla.
Hyperspace Hoopla?
Yeah, it's especially great if you don't really have a strong affinity for them. It's like you like them, but you're not a big, huge, raging Star Wars geek.
Right.
It's a lot of fun. Like I said, it gets very crowded, but it's totally worth it. It's what I like about it is that you can be a fan of the films and be there with people who aren't so much, they're not by no means Star Wars geeks, and everyone mm-hmm. can really enjoy it. It's really that type of humor. Very, very good. That's a really good show to check out. also just the characters are fun to go meet, kind of like watch and do some people watching and enjoy in that regard. That can be a great way to enjoy the shows. The events that they have, the shows that are in the like the Premier Theater, and they're a little more geekier. They're especially good if you like the Clone Wars television show. I'm not sure if you're a fan of that. Otherwise, you know, it also depends if you're interested in the guests that are over there. But really, if you see one show during Star Wars weekend, it's got to be the Hyperspace Hoopla. It's really good. 7 o'clock. It's over by the Jedi Training Academy stage right near Star Tours.
Okay, great. That probably will coincide with the time we get down there. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
Cool. No problem. Good luck.
And,
have a good one.
Thanks. 407-278-5939 is our number, and we'll bring our next caller onto the line here. Hi, caller.
Hi, this is Braindew, Jeff from Cyprus, Texas.
Hey, Jeff.
I just got a couple questions for you guys. One of them is if you guys got the chair tonight, what would be your final dinner in the world?
The chair?
The chair.
Well, Newell, he is from Texas, so obviously that's the way to go.
Yeah, you know.
Right, right.
That's how they handle the law in Texas.
That's funny.
All right, so like, wow. And the governor's not giving you any help there. So what are you getting?
Fulton's Crab House, because it's one of the few places that I haven't been. It's like one of the five or six that I haven't places I haven't been to in Walt Disney World that I really, really, really want to try.
Shula's, and I'd have the biggest steak.
Shula's. Aren't you worried about your cholesterol level?
I already gave him the juice, Len. He can't answer.
Oh, okay, all right. I just check it.
Actually, I gave it to you too, and you can ask questions.
Newell.
Wow. I would say Jiko.
What?
Why not?
Jiko. That's a crime in and of itself.
All right. You know, how about Ohana?
All right. No, there's a lot of meat. There's a lot of meat involved there. All right. Fair enough.
What's the difference? What am I watching? My figure?
Exactly. Exactly. You know, the long-term health risks of consuming too much meat. I don't know. You might want to think about that for your last meal.
I would pick Kona so that I could have as much sushi as I could possibly order. So that would be my right there.
I'm surprised I didn't hear any chef table.
Yeah, we're just not that kind of people.
No,
yeah.
We're looking for mass quantities of food, basically.
We went with quantity over quality. That's great.
I'm with you. And the other question, which one do you think you'd get more wet on, Cali River Rapids or Niagara Falls with a barrel?
River Rapids.
Len did some actual research on this, Len.
Yeah, actually, so my barrel experiment will be on the Science Channel coming up in the fall. The
Niagara Falls.
Slowly I turned. The last couple times I've been on Kali, I've just been soaked. I mean, to the point where it's been less fun, you know, walking around the parks. This last time I went on with Hannah and a guy named Rich Fosberg, who contributes to the guide. And it's funny because when you go up that first ramp, the people who are going to get soaked are the people whose backs are facing the ramp, and it's been me like the last five times I've ridden Kali River Rapids. I don't know if I need to gain weight or lose weight so that I don't affect the spin of the vehicle as much.
Right.
But I'm seriously going to start thinking about changing my eating patterns about 2 months out before I ride the thing again, just so I can not screw it up.
Nice.
Great. Hey, thanks. That's all I wanted to say.
Thanks, Jeff. You know, between Jeff's Niagara Falls question and the Star Wars weekends question, reminded one of our chatters in chat, Sarah ZY, was at Star Wars Weekends, and we had a discussion of how to best survive the zombie apocalypse at Walt Disney World.
And?
So this is the kind of stuff that we discuss.
Well, that's
Star
important.
Weekends.
That's important
You've
stuff.
Seen Zombieland, right?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, great film.
Don't neglect your aerobic activity.
That's right. We came up with the double tap and cardio.
Yeah, cardio.
Yeah, and always check the back seat of the TTA.
Oh, exactly. You know, you just never know. You just never know.
We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
This is Ed from McMurray, PA.
Hey, Ed.
How you guys doing?
Good. How's it going?
Oh, we're really very excited to get through. I wasn't sure if I'd be able to get through tonight. Hi, just
Thank
a
you.
Quick question for you. Mm-hmm. We're headed to the World on Saturday, November 27th. And going to be staying 7 nights, and we can take a whole crew. We've got our 2 daughters and their husbands and our 5 grandkids, ages 3 to 7. And We're trying to lock in a night for Fantasmic so we can lock in our dining plans.
Mm-hmm.
And I've looked at the November calendar and was sort of disappointed that week after Thanksgiving. They're only showing like, in November, like one day. I think it's on a Monday night for Fantasmic. Nothing Sunday and nothing Tuesday. And then the December calendar isn't out yet. And I was wondering, do you think that they'll be showing more during the rest of that week? I know last year they showed like four.
Yeah.
It was like four nights that were with Fantasmic.
We were talking about this a little earlier in the show, and that Disney puts out a schedule for Fantasmic first, and then they update it as they get better indicators for what their crowds are going to be. Okay. You can actually go to StudioCentral.com, and we have a link to the historical Fantasmic showings, so you can see what it was like in November 2009. And kind of compare as, yeah, StudioCentral.com.
Okay. Yep.
And you'll see the Fantasmic schedule there on the right-hand side of the page is a link. And you go there in November 2009, and that'll give you at least an idea. I mean, there's no guarantees, but at least you'll have an idea of what it was like last year, so you can kind of have an idea. Also, don't forget.
Last year, like, so I'm pretty sure, because I was thinking about this planning this trip, and it looked like they had a lot of, Fantasmic schedule events. And that's what I was thinking. They may increase it.
What they do is they put out a schedule, and then they kind of wait and see how, bookings go and what they're anticipating crowds to be like as they get closer. But, of course, what I would really – and also besides this, I have to mention this at least once a show. Be sure to complain to Disney about this because look at all this. You're going to go through all this aggravation for the next couple of months trying to figure out if you can see Fantasmic. Of course, if it was like at the other parks and Fantasmic was every night, you wouldn't have a problem.
Exactly.
So and you're paying all that money and getting getting less. So you should definitely complain about that because it's just – You are being inconvenienced.
Is there a good place to complain? Something would be effective rather than just kind of going into the corporate morass somewhere.
they have a guest email I know All Ears Net has the email address. It's like www.guest.communications@disneyworld.com, something like that. But okay. Check All Ears. They have the email address there, and some people do get a lot of feedback from Disney. Some people get a phone call back. So be boisterous and see what you do.
Oh, okay. That sounds like a good idea. Do you have time for another quick question?
Yeah, sure.
I'd mentioned we're going to be arriving on Saturday afternoon, 27th, and with the kids, we plan on spending the first afternoon and evening at the Magic Kingdom. I know that's not the best thing to do, probably, but with the kids, it's hard not to to get there and get into the park. And we're trying to plan our dining plans. Now, we've been to the World a few times in the past and sort of had a tradition of going to Tony's that night. But we've been kind of disappointed the last trip or two with Tony's.
Welcome to
the club. It just seemed like the food wasn't quite as good as it used to be. And, even the service seemed to be a little bit off. Maybe it was just us. But we thought we'd try something different. And we're thinking about maybe either Liberty Tree Tavern or the Crystal Palace.
Scopa?
Any recommendations there between the two? I'm kind of torn right now.
I think Liberty Tree Tavern is going to be pretty popular that weekend, Ed, so that might be a really tough one. Crystal Palace is, I think Matt would agree with me on it. Crystal Palace may be a little overpriced these days.
Yes.
But you may want to consider that.
We are doing the dining plan.
Crystal Palace, yeah. I mean, definitely Crystal, because I was going to go with the Plaza next, but now that you mentioned that, I'd say, give Liberty Tavern a shot, Liberty Tree Tavern a shot, and then
Do you think that would be your first? That would be the first recommendation.
I think that the quality of the food there might be a little bit better than Crystal Palace. The kids may like Crystal Palace because of the I don't know. Is it character meal at dinner? I think it is.
Yeah, it is. I think it's Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, I mean, I think that between the two of them, I think the Crystal Palace may be the more expensive of the two. So it depends upon what you want. Again, Liberty Tree Tavern is probably going to be real popular that weekend. So that may be a difficult one. But if you're on the dining plan, I'd say either one of those would work.
Because we're hoping. I know we did this once a few years ago in the weekend after Thanksgiving and then the next week. And it was a little crowded on Saturday and Sunday. But then Monday, the crowds pretty well cleared out and it was nice the rest of the week. So,
Ed, what about Ohana's? Would you think would Ohana's work for you?
That's a good thought. Yeah.
Yeah, that might work. Ohana means family, I think.
Yeah, right. that's a good thought. I hadn't given that too much thought. So that may be Well, I think that would be a good recommendation, because we have not spent any time in that part of the park before either. So,
if I was paying cash, I would go with Plaza. A lot of people in the chat room are mentioning the Plaza restaurant, but since you're on the dining plan, you want to get the maximum amount of value out of it, and yeah. Crystal Palace is a great choice. As Mike mentioned, it is expensive. I like the food choice there. I think it's good food and everything. It's just expensive.
Yeah.
So, Glenn, what are your thoughts on the topic?
I like both restaurants, actually. I don't think you could go wrong with either. I think Liberty Street Tavern is a little bit better for smaller children. It seems to have a more small child-friendly menu, but I think you can't go wrong either way.
You say Liberty Street Tavern is?
I think so.
Oh, okay. That's good. Okay, well, it just sounds like it's not going to be a mistake either way that we can go. Like, just assume we can get reservations. That's I'm kind of trying to. I was trying to get these things nailed down because our 180 day window is May the 31st, which is a week from Monday.
Cool.
And we're trying to get Le Cellier one night and so forth. I want to, 7 o'clock Monday morning. I want to be on the phone, trying to get these get the reservations nailed down at least on a preliminary basis. So.
Cool.
Appreciate the feedback.
Thanks for calling in, Deb. Appreciate it.
Okay. Again, thanks. Hey, keep up the work. You're the unofficial guide and touring plans have been just unbelievably helpful for this whole planning process. So thank you guys
thanks so much.
For all the work.
Cool. And, thank
we'll
you.
Keep listening.
We'll cool. That's Ed from Pennsylvania there. We have our next caller on the line. Let's go international here. I don't know what number this is, but it's somewhat. I think it's international. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Masayo calling from Japan. Hi.
Masayo.
Hey, Masayo.
Hi.
How are you?
Yay, I made it.
Hey.
I have a few questions.
Hey, Masayo.
Hello?
Yep.
Yes. I haven't signed up yet, but I am thinking about doing my first 5K running in October and and Halloween family run.
Yeah.
And our website, the schedule says it starts at 7 a.m. And I understand that the transportation will be available for the only some hotels, host accommodations for the event. And I'm going to be staying at the Boardwalk, and I believe Beach Club will be the one of the host hotels. So should I need to walk to Beach Club to get the bus the morning?
Scopa?
Yeah, Masayo, this is Scopa-san. That's how it works. I think that when Deb was there in March for the 5K, we were talking about that, and there were some hotels that were designated as the host hotels, and so you had to figure out how to get to those hotels. So my suggestion would be, yes, prepare to walk over to the host hotel that's nearest yours, and you're lucky because you can do that, and you get the bus there.
And thank you. And because I've never done something like this, and I have no idea what's going to be the day for the running, so that the running starts at 7. So what do I expect to do that morning? Like get up at the 4, 5? I have no idea.
Oh, I think what will happen. Go ahead, Len. Go ahead.
No, I think you want to be. You want to be there. They'll tell you when you have to be at the starting line, right? They'll tell you it's a 7 a.m. race. You need to be at the starting line, like at 5 or something like that, or 6.
Yeah, they'll send you instructions, Masayo, with your email, and when you sign up, when you get your running bib, when you get your running packet, they will let you know. But like Len said, I'm guessing that they'll want you there. Probably. They'll probably start doing the buses around 4:30, 5 o'clock, and I guess they want you there maybe 5:30. Well, yeah, I mean, when we do the marathon, I mean, we get up at 2 a.m. to do the half marathon.
I know, but it's for the marathon, and it's just a 5K, and it starts at the 7, so that I was kind of expecting that I need to be there around 6 or so. No.
They want to start on time, and if you're not there, then oh well, you know.
So. So maybe I need to get up around 3 or so.
We're gonna have to wait and see. I think I don't know if I'm trying to remember what time Deb got up for hers. I think everybody had to be at the they wanted you to be there at least an hour before the start. So it could be you may not have to be there till 6 o'clock, but be prepared to get up early that day.
Wow. So maybe this is not a good idea to do that.
Welcome to the world of running.
Yeah, really?
Nice. Good luck, Messiah.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Always nice to have a call from Japan to get us going over here.
I'm glad Messiah's running. That's good.
Yeah, always good to have more people running. That's not me. We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Tom from Rockaway, New Jersey.
Hey, Tom.
How you doing?
Outstanding. What can we do for you tonight?
I got a question about the fast passes for the autographs for the upcoming Star Wars weekend.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you get the fast passes, is that going to not allow you to get fast passes for the...
No, it's completely unrelated. It's unrelated.
I'm sorry?
It's unrelated, Tom. The fast pass that you get for your autographs have nothing. They do not impact the fast pass system for rides. So they're not. They're just basically just tickets. It will not impact you at all. You can get a ticket for a celebrity autograph and then immediately go to like Toy Story Midway Mania and put in your ticket, and you'll easily get a fast pass. The two aren't related to each other.
Okay, great. And I know that we're going to be there on the 29th, which is an early magic hour. So. If the park opens at 8, what time do they start panning out the fast passes at the gate?
I believe they start doing it a little before then. They'll probably do it around, I think, 7 or so. It kind of depends on the day, so to speak. But there'll be lines already formed. So you'll see a line there for Jeremy Bullock, who's the host this year, or Ashley Eckstein, and a lot of the other guests there for that weekend. So you'll see the lines form there. The host will have a shorter line than the other guests that are there. So you're going to you'll be able to get on whichever line you like. And if you're lucky, if you get there early enough, you may be able to get on – once you get your ticket, be able to get on another line and get a fast pass for someone else or a standby ticket for someone else if you can hop back on real quick. But you never know.
And those are given out like at the front gate?
Yeah, you'll see a line. Trust me, it's hard to miss them. The lines for celebs really don't get that long until the buses start running, which is usually about 2 hours before the park opening. So on a Saturday, which is Extra Magic Hour mornings, like you said, that'll be about 6. So if you get there beforehand, you'll be fine. But once the buses start running, you start getting a lot more people showing up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
Cool.
All right. Thanks, man.
Thanks for calling in, Tom. Cool. Appreciate it.
Okay.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. And we have, don't forget, still time to get your calls in. And, of course, our chat room is open at wdwtoday.com. Lots of great information on the chat room that we've been getting. So let's keep it local here and go to someone in Orlando, Florida. Hi, caller.
Hi, this is Cheryl from Orlando.
Hey, Cheryl.
Cheryl P3. I wanted to say that regarding the signatures, that if you're there, I was there around 7 o'clock, and Todd got online to the host, which is Jeremy, and from what I hear, that they ran out soon after him.
Yeah, they it's a high demand. Jeremy's a great guy, and he gets a lot of the signatures there. But he's there because he's there every weekend. A lot of people that frequent it every week don't necessarily feel the need to get it as much, so it can be kind of hit or miss, but I'm glad that Todd was able to get one, Cheryl.
And my other thing is that they really need to put signage or something, more cast members near where the celebrities are, because a lot of people didn't know that you had to be, you know, at the front of the park at 9 a.m. to get your signature, you know, at 7 a.m. to get your signature.
Yeah, you're right about that. There's a lot of people who just, but a lot of people share, these are the same people who show up at the park at 11 o'clock and are surprised to find a long way to Toy Story and Space Mountain and all the different things. What do you mean I have to get out here early? You know, what do you mean there's no reservations available for LaCellier? So there's only so much that you can do in a lot of these things because some people just, you know, in fact, a lot of people don't quite get that. But luckily, you know that you can take advantage of it. So that's the advantage right there.
Yep. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Cheryl.
See you, Cheryl.
Bye.
Cheryl Perlmutter checking in over there. Of course, Todd, good friends of the show. 407-278-5939 is our phone number. And lots of good calls this evening. Lots of different topics that we're talking about. Different things going on. And of course, I think it was this past week. In fact, Len, you guys debuted the brand new touring plans. CrowdCounter, you revamped it.
That's right.
And
it's been really well received. It's the numbers make sense now. They're
now.
Well, the numbers used to be tied to the Magic Kingdom, which produced some strange results when the Magic Kingdom had special events. Now the crowd level index is tied to all four parks. Cool. And as I said earlier, we tweaked some of the best park and park to avoid recommendations to more clearly match the patterns that we observed over the last 6 months or so with data that we're collecting from our fabulous users who input those into lines. Nice. So that's really good. So the end result is that eventually we'll be able to say on an ongoing basis, you know, last week we recommended the Magic Kingdom. On these days, the average wait time was this. And on days when it was neutral, the wait times were this. And when we said stay away from the Magic Kingdom, the wait times were this. So we'll be able to show that, you know, that the crowd calendar was truly correct.
Good.
Okay.
Next caller's on our line. Hi, caller. Who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is David from Yorkville, Illinois.
Hey, David.
I just had a question for you guys. How do you go about editing your shows to make it look like you're all in the same room?
We get a really long string, tie it to some cans, and then we tie each can string to the same point, and it sounds really good. Newell, you want to talk a little bit about that, about the tech side?
There's really not much to talk about. We record over Skype, and we just record while the four of us just talk. The only editing we do is for time, and if there is some foul language, then it's the only editing.
Well, do you use a Levelator still?
I use a Levelator, and I also use Adobe Edition 3.
Okay, Levelator, David, is a soft piece of software that if Len is really loud or I'm really soft or whatever, it takes into account that and automatically adjusts it so we all sound like we're on the same level. So that way, that helps with a lot of the problems.
Okay, and then when you post them online, do you use a special program to post them, or how do you go about doing that?
We just post them online. We have a server, post it on there. It's pretty straightforward. It's not as crazy technical as you might think.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay, then I had one other question for you.
Yeah, go for it, man.
We're going to the World in October of this year. And we're going to be staying for 6 nights at the Yacht Club.
Okay.
And we were wondering if getting the fancy views, in your opinion, were worth it. Like the pool view instead of the standard views or something.
That's a good question. Len, what do you think?
That's a great question. So the Yacht Club, there are a couple of different views. I think the pool view gets you a view of the quiet pool, right? Then there's Lagoon View, which actually gets you a view of Stormalong Bay. I think either of those would be good.
Okay.
So whatever's cheaper you'd be fine with, I think. I think it does actually. It's some of the Garden View rooms though at Yacht Club overlook the like a pretty sort of garden area with a gazebo, and you sort of have oblique views of the water. But if you're really looking at a preview, go for the Lagoon View at Yacht Club, and I think you'll be pretty satisfied with that.
And I also mentioned Newell brought something to my attention that in our chat room, Irwin M and Jewel from Maryland, they are in chat actually. They're in the maternity room and they just had a baby.
That's
so congratulations!
Wow.
Yeah, check. But that's some dedication right there. Forget Lost. Firstborn? No. I got to listen to what Len has to say about crowds and Magic Kingdom.
Exactly. Hey, you guys are fantastic. That's great.
Congratulations.
And I hope that little Mike Matt Len is doing well in the
No, I think the baby's name is Marvin.
Marvin. The baby's name is Fabulous.
So congratulations, seriously. Very, very nice. And everyone in chat room, if you may, can or cannot see that, is congratulating you. So definitely first born. This is the first baby we've ever had born on our show. So.
That's great.
Fabulous Marvin Ding, I think, would be a great name.
Yeah, we need the baby elephant walk here music. It'd be appropriate, as Amy from Kentucky is mentioning.
Oh, that's awesome.
All right, 407-278-5939 is our number, and checking in is St. Chris. Hey, Chris.
You recognize me, guys.
Yeah. We have every single phone number in New Jersey here, just in case Eliopolis tries to call in.
Yeah.
So.
Yes, I actually bought up all the phone numbers in New Jersey just to make sure you would know when it's me.
That's nice. That's nice. That's what Google Voice is for. That's nice.
Absolutely. Landon, got to say another good word for the new crowd calendar. Looking lovely. Can't wait to see how it evolves.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks very much. Thanks for the suggestions, too.
I hope everything starts looking even more magical in a while. But I called up with another music recommendation.
Nice.
This is an album that's actually sold by Disney in the parks, and I just discovered recently it's on iTunes for about half the price.
Ooh,
Disney's Fairy Tale Weddings. Do you know this one?
Yes, oh, I have that one.
Yeah, I've seen it.
I have that album. My wife turned me onto it. It's a really great track.
Yeah, like easy listening instrumental of Disney movie songs. And if you think you're too hip to like easy listening music, you have no business being a Disney enthusiast.
Amazon too.
It's some of my favorite dinner music, and just beautiful stuff. Classical guitar. It used to be called Instrumental Impressions, but I'm guessing it just became so perfect as wedding music. I've never been to a wedding at Disney, but it seems to me if they were going to play any music in the background at a wedding reception, this would be the album.
Yeah. It's actually the number two selling album in wedding music on Amazon.
Not surprising.
It's so amazing.
It's really great. Actually, St. Chris, if I may throw a recommendation to you, if you like that, you should check out Jim Brinkman's Disney CD. It's really, really good.
All right, Jim Brinkman.
Yeah, he did a Disney CD, and it's along those lines, you know, and it's great. Great. Those are the kind of music I love listening to, you know, when you're at work, you know, that kind of tracks when they come up on Mouse World Radio, and very, very, very good.
I will check it out. And last thing, with regard to iTunes, you know, I keep thinking what Disney ought to do. You know the old Walt Disney World Forever music kiosk,
right?
Oh, dear
God.
Right?
Oh, I love that. I still have mine, actually. I still have mine.
Wayne, you actually took out a second mortgage to get all the tracks out of them, didn't you?
Every time someone was going to Walt Disney World, where I was, this is before I was working for the guide, I would actually give them $20 for each CD. Or whatever, I think it was 20 to get them, and I'm like, and I had this master list of all the tracks that I downloaded off the web, and I would just cross them off as I went along. That's fantastic. I still have them. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, on the trips when I went there when that was around, I kept thinking, $20 a disc. I don't know. Someday I'll be making more money. Maybe I'll be able to afford this, and it's gone.
It's gone. Exactly. There's something
gone.
Like a. The things that I prize the most on that are the CD quality of I got the entire Carousel of Progress. Like I did one entire CD of Carousel of Progress. So I have that, and just having that was fantastic.
I'm wishing I had some of that some of the bluegrass from Frontierland. I get hankerings for every land every once in a while, but I just wish they had that. If they would just Disney, Iger, Steve Jobs, please listen up, people. The money you could make, oh my goodness. Oh, dollar by dollar, they would just take over iTunes, and it would be wonderful. I would buy it all.
There you go. Oh,
that's funny. Nice. Yeah, I mean, just some of the music that they have it's one of those things where it was briefly there. I don't know if it didn't make money or if they were concerned about piracy or whatever, but yeah, it was sad to see it go. I actually have
nice.
I have 20 songs from the 1973 background. I'm sure I'm telling this like Newell doesn't have it, but I've got 20 tracks from the 1973 background music loop of Frontierland.
Ooh, that's very interesting, Len.
It is, isn't it?
that's fascinating, and that's good to know. And I'll just.
Leave it at that. Leave it at that. Yeah.
We'll just leave that at that one. Okay.
Thanks, Synchris.
Good talk to you guys. And let me tell you, I have never watched an episode of Lost, and
good
I
man.
Feel no sense. I feel no sense of loss. Yeah, excuse me, no pun intended. Yeah. But I have listened to every episode of Walt Disney World today. Keep it going, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Chris. That's really nice. All right,
take care.
Awesome.
Good night.
I've got stuff from Big Thunder Mountain. I've got a ton of stuff here.
Yeah, very nice. Well, it's 10 o'clock, and that's going to wrap up our May live show. Yeah, sorry. Someone's got to go take out the trash and empty the cat litter.
I have 112 tracks from Splash Mountain. What the heck am I doing with all this?
And I want to remind all of our listeners that our sponsor for this live show has been AllEars.net, your one-stop shop for Walt Disney World, the Disney Cruise Line, and Disneyland. AllEars has menus of all the Walt Disney World restaurants, comprehensive photos of all the resorts, and sections on traveling with special challenges and more. Be sure to subscribe to AllEars, a weekly email newsletter all about Walt Disney World, and join over 119,500 subscribers who receive a dose of pixie dust in their inbox each week. Be sure to visit allears.net today. And, of course, that will wrap up our May live show. I want to thank everyone who called in, as well as all of our listeners. I hope you guys all appreciated it and enjoyed it and got some useful information. On behalf of Len Testa, Mike Scopa, and Mike Newell, I'm Matt Hotchberg. We'll see you on the next live show.